Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And speaking about Piedmont Medical Center, this is going to be a very interesting program. A good friend of mine, a guy who's probably as well known in the community as anybody, was close to not being here a few years ago. He had some major, major heart issues, but he got through them thanks to Piedmont Medical Center and a guy by the name of Dr. Barry Chan, who's with us today. And we're going to kind of tell this story because it's quite a story. So before we start, let me start with you, Dr. Chan. Tell me a little bit about you, since you and I have just met about 10 minutes ago.
Well, thanks for having me on the program. What do you want to know?
I want to know a little bit about your background.
Background?
Yeah, like...
I grew up in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And I went to school at Wheaton College in Chicago, and then went to Northwestern Medical School in Chicago.
Right.
And then did my residency, my fellowship at University of Virginia, and I came to town in 1996 to Charlotte.
Right.
Joined a practice at Charlotte Presbyterian Hospital. I worked there for 20-something years, and then they recruited me down here to Piedmont Medical Center 5-6 years ago.
And you are a cardiac thoracic surgeon, which
Correct.
Means, for people who have never heard that term?
So we take care of surgical problems in the heart and lungs.
And you apparently do a pretty good job of it.
He does a hell of a job.
What was that you said?
He does a hell of a job.
Now, the big guy over here,
yes,
David Angel, who I think most people know as, he's just a great big guy. He's a great big guy personality-wise. He's a great big guy physically, 7 feet one or whatever the heck it used to be, but shrinking rapidly.
Yep. I'm wearing down, about 6'11", 7 foot now.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
He's a gentle giant.
So try to summarize as you can, David, what led up to your, what I call, near-death experience here 3 years ago?
I'll give you a shorter version. Us and friends were on our way to Yellowstone for snowmobiling.
Oh, yeah.
And between Dallas and Billings, Montana, I had an AFib attack on an airplane. Fortunately, they had oxygen, so I was able to get there and land. Whenever we landed, our friends and my wife made me go. I said, I'm going to be fine. Oh, no. We're going. So I went to a med facility, came in, they ran an EKG, and said, you're about to have a major heart event.
Ooh.
Straight to the ER in Billings, Montana. So while our friend Snowmobile Yellowstone had a wonderful time, my wife and I moved into the ER at Billings, Montana, where they did a great job. So if you're ever out there, that's a great hospital too. So, but they treat us very well, and then we came back here and started trying to go through all the things. It wasn't until we did the heart cath and all the other testing, they said I had an enlarged ascending aorta. And so that is the main valve above the heart that... It was like kind of you grow up, you know, when you make balloon animals and you squeeze one. Well, that's how my aorta was, and it was about twice what size it should have been. I'm sure the doctor can tell you a whole lot more, but that's the way they described it to me. And so we got to take that out and replace it with a sleeve. I had 3 blockages, so they had to do a triple bypass, and they did what is called an MAS procedure. I don't know what that is, but it's something
to do
with AFib. And then they did an AFib clip. So they said, you're going to need all these things. So I mentioned to a good friend of mine and yours, Rich Posapanko.
Oh, yeah.
He had heard that I was having a situation. And Rich called me up and said, David, I heard you're looking at going to Duke. What I said, yeah, I'm headed to Duke. He said, don't go anywhere. Do right here. We got the best people here. Well, I wasn't listening too good. And
we went
to Duke. I did all the big name hospitals. Went and checked at Duke. Now at this time we were scheduled to go to Dubai and a Croatian cruise. And the doctors at Duke said, oh, sure, you're not that bad. It's okay. You know.
Oops.
And my wife is going, what's going to happen if he blows that valve at 35,000 feet over the Atlantic? Well, that wouldn't be good. And we just decided, no, we're not going to do that. We canceled the trip. And that was whenever I went back to Rich, and I said, are you sure? He said, David, everything they do at Piedmont is better than any place around. They got the best doctors. He said, here's the practice I would talk to. So it was Dr. Chan and his partners. Dr. Chan and I met, and he just said, basically, I can do this, and I can do this as well or better than anybody around. And the people you're talking to at Duke will outperform them. I said, I'm not concerned about who's doing all that other care. He said, we have the stuff here. Now, understand, Manning, that this is after, you may remember, a year or two before that, I'd had a sudden brain problem.
Right.
And that was right after Piedmont had decided to open up a neuro unit. And Dr. Asher and them had did my brain surgery, saved my life there, and it was all right here at Piedmont because Piedmont had invested in a neuro unit. After that, they invested in the cardio unit, and they went out and got the top cardio guy, and that was Dr. Chan from Charlotte. And they brought him in here. So now we got the best neuro unit, and I knew how they took care of me there. So I was much more comfortable after Dr. Chan said, I'm the guy, I can handle it, and very, very personable. And I liked him. My wife and I both said, this is the best guy. We're here. And so
there we go.
We did, and the night before, I'm sitting there, and we sat down and told the good Lord, it's in you're in Dr. Chan's hands, and others will tell you that my body was shutting down. I looked like death warmed over, and I wasn't going to make it. Well, you saw me.
Oh, yeah?
You saw me right before this happened, and fortunately, Dr. Chan took care of me.
Good.
I can tell you about the surgery, but I'll let him do all that.
So when he walked into your office, mm-hmm. And you saw this massive human being mm-hmm. with all of these issues that he has just detailed, did you say, oh, my God, what have I got here?
I said, this is a keeper.
Thank you. I'm really grateful to you.
It's a challenge. I mean, he had three different things that need to be corrected. One is an aneurysm, which is an enlargement of the aorta, and that's like the biggest pipe in your house. It's double the size that it should be, and there's a chance of that rupturing. When that ruptures, that's a problem. It's like the biggest pipe in your house bursting.
Mm.
That's no good. He also has severe blockages of his heart arteries. There are three main arteries that supply everybody's heart. Right? One was, I believe, 80% blocked up. One was 90% blocked up. And one was 100% blocked up.
Oh, my gosh.
So he had issues with blood flow to his heart and his risk for having a heart attack. And the third thing was that he has AFib, which is irregular heart rhythm, that a lot of people have as they get older. And the biggest problem with that is the blood clots can form and can cause strokes. So we were able to take care of all those three things at the same time, which is combining three major heart surgery into one heart surgery on a guy who weighs three times my size. You know, so it was a lot of work for everybody. But in heart surgery, it's all about preparation. It's not just a surgery. It's the preoperative preparation. It's a surgery, which have to be done well, obviously, and then a postoperative care. So it takes a lot of people to take care of every heart surgery patient. You know, so before the operation, we had to prepare to do all those three things. We have to have the perfusionist, the guy who runs a heart-lung machine, while we stop his heart, to have the equipment to be able to support a man his size. And then do the surgery, which took quite a long time. And then post-operatively, you have to have enough resources and the physical therapy and the nursing to take care of him. So we did all of that. He was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, but
I was on the table for almost 12 hours. This man stood over me for almost 12
hours. Well, I did take a breakfast and lunch break.
They didn't tell me that. We'd have got you a sub from Substation 2.
Exactly. In fact, I was here for Substation 2 for a sub.
So when you got, first of all, I just can't imagine the operating table with a man this physically as big as David is. And he's big. He's over 7 feet, or he was over 7 feet. And I know the tables go up.
Raise and lower.
They go raise and go lower. But I don't know whether he can go low enough and still be able to do what you have to do.
Right. So I have bills from my chiropractor that's been sent to David's insurance. So he'll take care of me. But no,
I've got great liability.
We operate on patients with all different size and shape. And we have to adapt. Sometimes we stand on standing stools to go up on bigger patients. Sometimes we have to raise the table for smaller patients. But the actual operating table, I believe, can support up to 500 pounds.
All right.
You know, so
you're all right with the table. Gotcha.
It's all good.
But I think back to my brother when he had an operation on his back, and he's a big man like David is. The surgeon, as Teddy used to tell the story, actually got on his back, and because he had to go, it was easier for him to get up on top of him and do it. You managed to do it, but 12 hours of standing.
I don't remember it was 12 hours. The time it takes for anesthesia to get him ready for surgery. And then the actual operation and actually the recovery and the closing up, I don't know if it's 12 hours or not, but it was probably all day affair.
All day affair. And then you think about the anesthesiologist.
Correct.
I mean, to put a big guy like this out and be able to bring him back, which is the key, that takes a lot more than what their normal dosage would be.
Yeah, everything's a little bit more than normal. But it's all good.
So that's what your team does as far as all this prep.
Right, all this preparation. It's not, people think of surgery as just a surgery, but with heart surgery, there's a lot of preparation. It's called pre-op, intra-op, and post-op care. All those three things are very important. Without the post-op care, no matter how good of an operation you do, patient would not do well. So the whole team taking care of the patient, my mid-levels, my PAs, the nursing staff, the respiratory therapist who helped with his breathing, the physical therapist who helped him get up and walk, all those people have to be there and to do a good job.
So is it unusual when somebody comes in with the multiple complications that he has to do them all at one time, or do you take them normally?
No, we take care of everything that we need to take care of in one heart surgery.
You only want to open them up one time?
Correct.
Yeah. And his problems were so acute, you couldn't do any of this stuff like through the wrist or anything?
No, so when you go through the wrist, that's called stenting. The cardiologist stent. It's kind of like they go through the blockage and they pop it open. When there are too many blockages to stent, or when they have other issues to be taken care of, like his aneurysm, then surgery to bypass those arteries is the better option. So bypass is like Highway 77 to Charlotte. That's blocked up. There's a traffic jam. We're 485.
Still blocked up.
Right. Don't say that about my bypasses.
No.
But we bring 485 to 77, basically.
So the big pipe, as you call it, the biggest pipe to his heart.
Right. The aorta.
The aorta.
Correct.
Do you just clean this out, or do you replace it with?
No, we take it out. We replace it with a Dacron tube.
Now, wait a minute. He showed us what he's going to put in my heart. It's called a Dacron tube and take. Imagine, remember when you were kids, you had those little Chinese handcuffs?
Oh, that's right.
Well, it would look like something like that. And he pulls one out and he shows me, and I went, "That you're going to replace my living tissue with this?" He said, "Oh yeah, we'll sew it in, and we're going to." But that's what they did. He said, "This will last longer than your skin." So that's what they replaced my aorta with.
Plastic tube.
Plastic tube Chinese handcuffs.
Exactly. From Walmart.
From Walmart.
From Walmart.
From the gift shop at Piedmont.
You know, it would have been really fun if he could have kept you awake while he was doing all this, because you two guys could have hammered each other while this was going on.
Yes, we would have. You know, it's just, and I have to say, and I know we'll get into a little bit, but I want to make sure that the staff that he's talking about, when I first walked in the door at Piedmont, and my wife and I are just scared to death.
I can imagine. Yeah.
And I'm white as a sheet. My wife knows, you know, because she'd already been there before, a few years before that, with my brain thing. My body was shutting down, and I was in a wheelchair with drool running down my chin. And so now I'm back here a couple of years later, only now it's my heart. And the staff and everybody took me right in, had a proper-sized bed for me. Now, understand, I don't fit in a regular bed. So they had already special ordered a bigger bed for me, and that was my bed for the next 6 or 8 weeks that I was there. But from there and the surgery and how their staff was so personal, and I don't know how a better way to say it, except there was always somebody right there. There wasn't any, they left me in the room and they forgot about me. Uh-uh. No, his team, and I talked to several of them, they had recruited the top people from around the country. And I remember before when I went in for my neurosurgery, they had only been open 60 days. And the nurse, one of the nurses, I said, well, are you from around here? Oh, no, they recruited me from Pittsburgh, and they recruited me from Ohio, whatever. I was the top at this hospital, that hospital. Piedmont went out and got the top people to build a neuro unit. Then they went out and got the top people to build a cardio unit. And those people came in here, and they were as good. I could not have asked for more.
My guess is, Dr. Chan, that when you moved from wherever you were practice-wise in Charlotte down to here, you're going to make sure that all those pieces are in place before you make a commitment to come to the hospital.
Correct. I think heart surgery is very different from other surgeries, like orthopedics and general surgery. The surgeon is the most important thing. It's not as much of a necessity to have a good team around you. The heart surgery is so much more of a teamwork situation because patients are sicker. They need a lot more care from the person who runs a heart-lung machine when your heart has stopped. The specialized anesthesia, specialized mid-levels to help take care of the patients, specialized intensive care patients, intensive care doctors and nurses. So it's a whole big deal.
Big deal, I understand.
They told my wife and I, because I was in there a lot longer after surgery, because they couldn't get me to stop bleeding. But his team kept working on that. They couldn't get me to start breathing on my own. So the breathing person, whoever that was, had to stay. It wasn't like, well, let's unplug him, he's done. No, I was an overachiever, so they had to work a whole lot longer to get me to start breathing on my own and stop the bleeding and those type of things, which just speaks volumes about how great the team is.
So a man physically as big as David Angel is, mm-hmm. If you take a look at a normal size heart, and I have no idea what size that is, mm-hmm. Is his heart proportionally bigger because of
No, it's not. Most people's hearts are about the same size. Most adult hearts. You know, obviously, if you have a sick heart, it's more boggy, it's bigger. But most adult hearts are around the same size. His could be slightly bigger. But not that much.
Interesting. All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break and remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, Doc, what we do here is fresh subs and salads, and we do them 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is the magic in the white letters right here, and we're going to bellow it out so everybody can hear it out there in along Cherry Road, all right? So at the count of three, get ready. Get your pipes ready. One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
All right, back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
We hope you'll choose The Nest to deliver your newest bundle of joy. The Nest is a new labor and delivery recovery postpartum unit at Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, working to make your pregnancy and childbirth experience as easy and enjoyable as possible. Our physicians and nursing staff at Piedmont are dedicated to giving expectant mothers the maternity care they want and need. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Soup, here it is. Soup, here it is. Fight those cold weather chills with a cup of hot soup at Substation 2. We serve a rotating selection of flavors and never know what we feel like fixing, but it's all delicious. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winter.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, Dr. Barry Chan, cardiothoracic surgeon at Piedmont Medical Center. His probably biggest case physically, and I don't know, well, mentally or whatever, is here as well. David Angel, who, I tell you, as I said at the outset of the show, I didn't know, didn't think my friend was going to make it, but he made it, and here he is, bob. Okay, so you finish whatever it's going to be, a 10-hour, 12-hour procedure. They get your heart rolling again, and they take you down to the ICU, which is where you lived for 30 days or 35 days or whatever the heck it was.
It was several weeks that I was there, and again, their staff was just, they could not have been more responsive or on top of everything. And I mean, the first week or so, I didn't know where I was or what it was, or, you know, I was just lost. But as I kept coming back and then trying to get up, now understand, trying to get me up whenever I had zero strength, I couldn't move. It took several people to get me up.
How many, Doc? How many did it really take to get him up?
A bunch.
and to get me just to be
the
able to stand up.
The whole shift was there.
Just to be able to stand up.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember it was a real accomplishment for me to walk from my bed to the door of my room and back to the bed. I mean, that was a celebration.
Mm-hmm. And that was probably, what, 3 weeks
and
in?
That was 2 weeks in, 2.5 weeks in. And then I started, now you got to walk through the door out to the counter. And then he would come by and say, you got to walk to the end of the counter and I'm going to wait for you. I can't make it. Yes, you are. And he would be down there and just chiding me to get it done and get it done. I mean, he was as bad as any of my old coaches telling me to run. But that's what made me get it done. And, you know, eventually I was able to go out and walk down the hallway to the end of the hallway and back. And, I mean, it was just, you know, those were like giant strides to be able to walk 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
With no strength and without falling down or without, I mean, I had to do those without holding on to anything.
So not to leave a false impression, most heart patients that you deal with, they go through surgery, it's not going to be 10 or 12 hours. It's going to be a shorter period of time. They're going to be in ICU for maybe a few days and rather than 3 or 4 weeks, and they're going to go home.
Most heart surgery that we do is about 3 or 4 hour long operation. Each 3 or 4 hour operation, they stay in the ICU for 1 to 2 days, go to a regular room, and go home within a week. That's 90% of our patients. But sometimes we have complicated patients or sicker patients that come in, and they may stay a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So the ICU is a critical piece of this infrastructure.
Correct.
That you got to have to be able to do what Piedmont is doing.
Correct.
And in the ICU, it's like, what, not being in the operating room, but having everything an operating room has.
Correct. And it's a very specific ICU. It's just not any ICU. It's a cardiovascular ICU. So the nursing there, they're specialized in taking care of open heart patients.
I mean, when I came in there and saw you with that big mask all over your face, it all had to do with breathing, because it was breathing for you since you couldn't do it yourself. And you were just, I mean, you were just like a slab. I mean, you just weren't there.
I was a lump. Now, and to his point, everybody, the attention that they pay. Now, while I was in there, several of my and your friends, business owners and members of government, came through there with similar, not as bad, but other surgeries and things that they were in there. Because whenever my wife would come up, you know, she would say, guess who's down the hall? You know, and, you know, they have, what do you have, like 10 or 12 beds in there?
We have friends and family discount.
and we would, that, you know, she would be down visiting somebody else's. But the thing is, whenever somebody was coming or going, no visitors. They were so dedicated. If there was somebody coming out of surgery, everything freezes, everybody goes and gets that person in, gets them settled up and done. And my wife said a couple of folks who were waiting to see their family said, well, why can't we go in there? Just because they're going to, she said, if that was your husband coming out, wouldn't you want it to be focused?
Yeah,
I hadn't thought about that. But that's the kind of focus that they put on their patients.
So, Doc, you've been here how many years now at Piedmont?
It's been probably 6 years now, I think.
And I guess it's fair to say that, I mean, listening to this testimony and others that you've heard, that Piedmont has a very robust cardiac program. Is that fair to say?
Correct. And it's been growing the past 5 years. I think with recruitment of cardiologists, the administration support, and surgical staff, the program has been growing significantly. When I first came in, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, they were doing less than 100 heart operations. Now up to 250 heart operations. So that's been a significant growth. And I think
you must never sleep.
So most of the patients used to go to Charlotte. I used to have a lot of patients when I was at Presbyterian Hospital. The cardiologists would refer patients to me at Presbyterian Hospital. So, but patients don't have to leave town now. They can stay in town for the same care that we would give in Charlotte. So that's good for the patients of York County, you know, that they can have excellent care just like in big cities closer to home.
If I may, I grew up here. And I started going into the hospital with ulcers and things like that when I was 15, all the way through high school, all through. And everybody has always said, well, if you're sick, don't go to Piedmont. You got to go to Charlotte. Well, let me tell you, that ain't the case. We have better facilities. We have better qualified and talented doctors and staff and the pre-op people, all those professionals, not just a nurse, but all these professional people above that to take care of us. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go to Duke. You don't have to go to Mid-Charleston. Do it right here. They got you.
And that's a great way to end the program. And, Doc, thank you for all the skills and dedication you've brought to Piedmont Medical Center. Thank you, Piedmont Medical Center, for all that you've done to create the infrastructure so a talented guy like Dr. Chan can do his thing.
And I want to say thank you, Doctor, for saving my life.
Thank you, Mr.
I'm grateful.
All
thank
right.
you.
Always good to see you.
What a great way to wrap up our Straight Talk program, brought to you, of course, by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And, of course, by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, we're going to tell everybody we got another doc in the house here. He's going to show you. Oh, the groupie just showed up. Get the business cards out. Here we go. All right, at the count of three, what did we do here at Substation 2 that makes everybody feel great? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We will see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.